I'm Jane Nofke. I've been in the Meadowood Writers. Well, this is the beginning of my fourth year in the Meadowood Writers. I'm a retired University of Wisconsin academic advisor, but I also was a high school English teacher for 20 years, which is probably why I do this kind of thing today. I write both poetry and prose, and I grew up in northern Wisconsin by the Brule River and Lake Superior, surrounded by a large extended family of the children and grandchildren of Finnish homesteaders. And that's what I like to write about, my family and my Finnish heritage. And when I think about an audience, I always think of my cousins. So when I'm reading to you now, I'll picture you as my cousins. This is kind of a silly story that I wrote last week. There was no doubt that she knew and understood her place like any other queen. With her protruding hip bones and ungainly body, though, she was not very pretty. Even her large, limpid eyes, surrounded as they were with long, dark lashes, could not make her so. She could win anyone's sympathy with a soulful look from those liquid eyes, but she could also look imperiously upon the world and get the most patient person's back up. Our Holstein milk cow, Queenie, was definitely the leader of our small herd of heifers and steers. She was the adult, the one who supplied the family with milk, cream, and butter. She had long ago proven that she could earn her keep. The others were really little more than silly teenagers, and they would soon move on anyway. Only Queenie would stay to boss the next batch of young stock around. She would continue to come and go as she pleased through the pastures and woods, and they would follow. So would my sister Christy and I. We didn't work very hard on the farm, but it did fall to us to find Queenie wherever she might have wandered and bring her home for milking. The others would have followed her out, and they would follow her home again. They were not the problem. She always waited outside the barn for morning milking, but in the evening she was stubborn. We would walk through the pasture and down the cow path along the ravine leading to the woods. This is where it got difficult. Generations of cows had beaten paths through some 40 acres of woods. She could be anywhere. Luckily, she usually followed a path that wound close to the fence line through scrubby woods to the newly cleared pasture on the back 40. Dad had bulldozed brush and small trees into piles here. Raspberry bushes grew through the brush piles. In season, we spent some time picking them. Unfortunately, the brush piles also seemed to attract skunks. The grass was tall, so we wouldn't see them until we were almost upon them. Sometimes their tails were standing straight up so we could see them sooner. Always one of us would scream, "Skunk!" and we'd run. Queenie, however, was never in a hurry. She would go home when she was ready and not before. It was good to be queen. We tried everything, starting with sweet talk. We patted and scratched her gently, praised her for the good cow she was. This I'm sure she regarded as nothing more than was her due. Slowly our voices rose. Our gentle pats became swats on her hindquarters. "You stupid, good-for-nothing cow, go home." I was with my father once when he went to fetch the cows in the days when we still had a large herd of milk cows. He brought a BB gun. I remember the sound of the BB shot bouncing off thick hide. They did not hesitate to start for home. Queenie, however, had our number. She knew Christy and I were no threat. Even on days when she started right off for home, she would stop on a whim to continue grazing. There was one wet, marshy spot on the trail, a real hog wallow of a place, where mud and heaven only knew what else oozed over our shoes while gnats attacked us. Why would she stop here? She couldn't have enjoyed those bugs buzzing around her eyes. Pure meanness, I thought. We stood in the mud, shoving and cursing at her. One on either side of her, we pushed. It was like trying to push a car stuck in deep snow. Shoulders to her rump, we pushed. Eventually, when she had finally established her position as boss, she would amble peacefully home, chewing her cud in apparent contentment. We followed, cursing her for the rotten, flea-bitten old bag she was. I have no memory of why Dad decided that it was time to put her down. She was old. Maybe her milk was drying up. But anyone who lives on a farm will tell you that animals do not outlive their usefulness. I assume that he butchered her, but I have no memory of that. Did I ever sit down to a pot roast knowing it was Queenie? I don't think so. What I do remember is the last time Christy and I walked out to the back 40 to bring Queenie home. Were her eyes a little more shiny and moist than usual? Was she a little more happy to see us? That may have been my imagination, but I do know that she moved for us like a dream. We patted and praised her as she set a brisk pace for home, as if she knew we had more important things to do and she didn't want to waste our time. By the time we reached the barn, we were both sobbing.